You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Greetings and welcome to the Direction for Life broadcast. I'm Youth Pastor Chandler Bailey, and I'm here to introduce a message by my dad, Dr. Herbert Bailey, on sufficient grace. We had an amazing conference, an amazing turnout. People were blessed, and our theme for the conference was sufficient grace. God wants you to know that everything you need in this life is not just in your life, but in Him involved in your life. Listen as Dr. Herbert Bailey hammers away in the Word of God on sufficient grace. Be blessed.
What we do know is that the devil was harassing Paul. And one time that he prayed about it, it wasn't immediately manifested that the devil left him alone. I was talking to Bishop Bailey the other night. He's been talking since he's been here. He's been quiet for the last couple of years, but he's been talking since then. I said, where this man been? Told him Tuesday night, I took him out of the room. I said, I got to go to bed. I got to go study. He said, yeah, and the next thing I know, I'm sitting there an hour and a half. I said, well, Lord, this ain't the old Bishop Bailey. Yeah. And he pulled out a list of 15 conditions that he went through over the last couple of years, how the devil was buffeting him. He said, but God took me through it all. Start naming one after the other. And this one, the doctor said this, and the heart this, and the nerves this, and then thyroid this. He said, but God took me through it all. And then he said, he was helping me preach. I didn't mean, that's why I was down there. He said, people don't realize the devil don't let up. He just keep on coming and keep on coming and keep on coming and keep on coming and keep on coming. And God tells Paul, I don't care how many times he comes after you, you got what it takes. Oh, y'all ain't hearing me here. My grace is sufficient. Now, you got to catch this. He was not telling Paul, I'm sorry, you just got to deal with this. That's how people teach that. People teach it like, God said, I'm giving you grace, but I ain't giving you victory over this devil. Really? You're missing it. God said, Paul, stop coming to me with this. Stop praying about this same thing over and over. I've already given you my grace, which is sufficient to deal with that devil. You got what it takes to bind and to loose. You already got what it takes to rebuke the devil. You already got what it takes to keep the devil from lording over your... Stop coming to me. I've already given you enough grace to make it through and to come out of this situation. Now use what you got. Are you catching this? This wasn't a, oh well. That's how we've heard this taught. Oh well. You know, God, some things we got to deal with. You know, Paul had his thorn in the flesh. Everybody got a little devil to mess with a man down there. Come on, really? God said, no. Chris, I've gifted you. Stop coming to me to do something about what I've already given you power to do something about. Stop praying to me to do what I've already given you authority to do. Now, come on. The messenger of Satan to buffet me. This wasn't even the devil himself. This was one of his messengers. Oh, thank you, Lord. So his message is, it's one of the devil's messages coming to say, you ain't going to make it. You going to die. I'm going to kill you. You'll never get to Jerusalem. You'll never get out of this storm. And God says, now you surely got enough to just tell that messenger, go back to hell. Yes, right. you a liar. God gonna take me through this. As a matter of fact, I already got the victory. My scene is about to change. Something's happening behind the curtains. Oh, no, no, no. See, you don't know what my end's going to be, but I already know what your end going to be, because I already read the end of the book. And at the end of this book, I win and you lose. I go up and you go down. Are y'all hearing me here? No, 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 no. Stop letting the devil buffet you and use the grace. Going around talking about, I can't do it. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't have. God said, you got sufficient grace. I wouldn't have given you that child if you didn't have grace to parent that child. Glory to God. I wouldn't have given you that ministry if you didn't have the grace to lead that ministry and to grow that ministry. Glory to God. I would not have given you this spouse if you didn't have the grace to love her the way she needs to be loved. Can I tell y'all, some of you men who don't understand how to do this thing, there's some stuff you can't do in the natural. When people have come to me, I found myself the last couple of years asking people, when they come to me about stuff, I say, how do you pray for yourself? How do you pray for yourself? I know what you would pray for somebody else. How do you pray for yourself? Because I pray for myself. Look, your neighbor, say, you better pray for yourself. I know you believe you covered. Ain't nobody concerned about you like you. Be not deceived. You better learn to pray for yourself. So I have to pray for myself. And I pray, Father, help me to love Marcia the way she needs to be loved. Thank you, Lord, that I have the grace to be the husband that I need to be to Marcia, that I can remove all her burdens, destroy all her yokes. Thank you, Lord, that I have the grace to lead this church that I didn't ask for, that I didn't see happen, in a place I didn't want to be. But I thank you that I have the grace to deal with everything I got to deal with. And the church that you're still telling me I got to build with all these millions of dollars that I don't know where it's going to come from. Father, I thank you that I got the grace to take one step at a time and do what I need to do. Thank you that your grace is already sufficient. Are y'all getting this? And every one of us has it. Look, at least point to at least two people. Tell them you got it. Tell them you got it. Come on, add one more. You got it too. Every one of us has it. Ephesians 4:7. But unto every one of us is given grace. Stop right there. But unto who? Some of us. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. That's talking about your assignment. To every one of us is given grace for your gifting, for your assignment, for your race, for your calling. To every one of us. Come on, everybody, come on, raise your hand to the Lord and say, God, I thank you that I have sufficient grace for my calling, for my assignment, and for my race. Come on, give God praise for that. Hallelujah. To every one of us. Stop complaining. Stop saying you can't do it. Stop saying it's too much. Stop telling everybody else, you don't know what I'm going through. No, to every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Sufficient grace for everything you have to do. Bishop Jake says something. He says, he's had preachers come to him and say, I just wish I had your ministry. He said, I just wish I had your ministry. He said, and I tell him, if I didn't like you, if I really wanted to kill you, I would give you the keys to the church and put you in my position for one day. It would kill you. Because unless you have grace for that assignment, it'll kill you. Sometimes the strain that we're feeling It ain't because God didn't give you what it takes. It's because you're trying to use what he's given you for this, for that. You trying to be over here, and you need to be over there. I told y'all, my little toy car. I'm going, as soon as my plate comes, I'm going to take it to private plate and call it my toy. My little Gucci Fiat. I love it. I've been driving it more than anything else. Yeah. But it's a four, I ain't never had a four cylinder before. Nice car, four cylinder. It can get up there eventually. But it ain't like my other eight cylinders. So usually, as soon as I get on the interstate from where I'm leaving my house, coming here to the office, coming to the church, I get right in that, I pull all the way over in that left lane, and I pass everybody. If an 18-wheeler coming down the left lane, that's all right. You ain't going to catch me anyway. And I got my little Fiat, and I went to do what I usually do. I was like Samson. I went to shake. And wish not that the spirit of acceleration had departed from me. I went to go on that right lane. I hit that thing. I said, the tachometer went off. It didn't move. That car said, "You better get back on that left lane. Look at your neighbor. Say, stay in your lanes. Stay in your lane." You know what that car is saying? I don't have grace to take off like that. Your Mercedes or your BMW does, but no, I don't have the grace for that. I got enough grace for you to stay in this lane. And I got enough grace. This is so good. If you would just wait for your time, then we can get in that lane and I'll be fine and nobody will ever know the difference. But just because you don't take off like them, it don't mean you ain't supposed to be on the interstate. You just gonna have to wait your time to shift into that lane. Are you hearing me? Every one of us given. So there's sufficient grace for everything you need to do. Now, as I studied this in scripture, there's different types of grace that the scriptures mention. Okay, and I want to go through several of them, things I can get to today. The first one I want to talk about is corporate grace. Go to Acts 4:33. And it talks about this early church, how they had all things in common. They would come together and a place would be shaken with the power of God in corporate prayer. And then Acts 4 and verse 33 says, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon some of them." Y'all are not reading. "And great grace was upon them all." There is a corporate grace. There's a corporate grace that you can only partake of by being part of a corporate body. I just go to different churches. No, you will not be a partaker of corporate grace. Are you hearing me? Well, I don't really understand why you need to be connected to a pastor or connected to a church. Well, because then you will never have that corporate grace. Let me tell you something about this house. There's a corporate grace on this house to cause you to walk in prosperity. There's a corporate grace in this house that you'll never have to be on welfare. There's a corporate grace on this life, on this church, that if God told you to start a business, it will grow. No, come on now. I can't talk about everybody else's house. I know the grace that's on me and that's on this house. There's a corporate grace to move beyond whatever state you are in your life. On the other hand, that grace will also frustrate you if you want to stay where you are. It'll aggravate you. It'll make you feel uncomfortable. It'll make you feel like somebody trying to push you beyond your limits. Well, you ain't supposed to be here. Because this grace will ignite something in your life. Everybody say corporate grace. It says great power, great grace was on them all. There is a corporate grace when you connect with a church, with a house, with a vision, what God has called that church to do and to be, you will first be partakers of that. If you connect right in heart and in mind, not just on paper. I said, not just on paper. Oh, sorry. Yes, John, give me a sign, something. No. Because there's folks who sign something who their hearts are still disconnected. When there's a corporate grace, Paul said, we all speak the same things. When one hurts, we all hurt. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. Everybody say corporate grace. Glory to God. Secondly, there's enabling grace. These are my titles for this as I looked in scripture. There's enabling grace, or what I'm even calling working grace. Look at 1 Corinthians 3 and 10. Paul talks about the grace that God put on him. He said, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. According to the grace, I laid this foundation. God grace me, watch it, to plant this church. God grace me. Well, if he can do it, I can do it. No, God grace me to do this. If he can lead praise and worship, I can lead praise and worship. God graced him to do that. A lot of people don't understand this. Bishop Bailey, church he came out of, the late great apostle Arturo Skinner, that man had gifts. We talking about this. That man had gifts on him that he was telling Pastor Tracy. He said you go to a meeting, he'd just call you out, tell you all about you, where you were sitting at your house that day, tell you your name, tell you what condition you got in your body, and it's healed right now, and you never suffer with it again. And folks was coming by the thousands. We're talking in the late 50s and the 60s to the early 70s. Packed out Madison Square Garden by himself. Bought former music theaters and opera houses for his churches. Had several of them. Had mega church before we had the definition of mega. And yet I saw so many of Bishop Bailey's contemporaries who came along with them going around buying movie theaters with 10 people in them. Some of them probably still got them today. Because they saw their leader do that. But he was, come on. He was graced to do that. You can't copy grace. Grace got to come from God. We have seen so many people try to copy grace. You can't copy grace. Grace is God's endowment, God's charisma, God's gifting, God's strength. And because it's grace, by definition, it ain't fair. Pastor Chandler was talking about that a couple weeks ago. He don't deserve that. That's why God was gracious to him. If he deserved it, it wouldn't be by grace. If he deserved it, then it's by works. Because you did something to get this. But when God give you what you know you didn't deserve, man, you like, that's it's the grace of God. That's why Paul says, it's by God, but it's the grace of God I am that I am. Enabling grace. We see it again. Go to 2 Corinthians 6 and 1. We then as workers together with him beseech you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. I need to see this one because I got to deal with this one for a moment. We then as workers together with him, 2 Corinthians 6 and 1, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. We're going to see this comes up later. Paul says, God has put a grace on you to accomplish things that only you can accomplish. Yeah. Watch this. Here's the phrase the Lord been giving me. don't waste the grace. What have you been graced to do that you're not doing because you're trying to copy somebody else's grace? I come out of a background that everybody, when you preach, hoop all the time. And if you didn't hoop, you're going to stay home. Preachers know what I'm talking about. You ain't going to have no appointments. You ain't getting no revivals. Okay? Back in the day, I was hooping so much, I was always going hoarse. I try to get through my notes enough to save my voice from a hoop. Then I go try to hoop. Lord, we shouldn't have got him, Jesus. And some of those backgrounds, like I'm teaching right now, and like a couple of y'all doing, sleeping on me. Okay? Everybody will be asleep. Because I don't care what you're saying. Unless you're saying it like this. Oh, God. Unless you're doing that, you ain't saying nothing. And even though, listen, I came out of that background, the Lord said, that ain't how I want you to build this church. That's not what I want you to do. It was a dilemma for me when I started. It was a real dilemma. But God said, I've given you a different grace. And the people that I want to bring to you, everybody don't understand that. And we didn't got enough of that. I went on the radio right after one of the greatest of those preachers. And my grandmother called, I told my grandma first, turn the radio on, Bishop so-and-so on. And he began, and the Lord said, now, when you come on, they need to hear just the opposite. Even though that's what he's doing, don't you do that on, now, y'all know we go into sometimes, but that's not the essence of my ministry. Most of you didn't come here for that.
We hope you are blessed with the message of Sufficient Grace by Dr. Herbert Bailey. Let me pray with you. Father, I thank you so much for our viewers. I thank you for our partners and those connected with us through television and through the digital mediums of the world, God. But we pray a specific blessing for them because they're tuned in. Lord God, I declare and we believe that we connect with their faith, that because they're tuned in, the angels in the heavens and God's favor and grace is tuned into their life. We pray that as they go forward with this year, I don't know what's on their hearts. I don't know what they're believing you for, but I believe and we believe that they have sufficient grace. We thank you for it, God, and we know that you're a great finisher, and we're looking to you to assist us along the way. Be blessed.
Do you sometimes feel inadequate or that you're not capable of fulfilling your goals? You have to know that you have what it takes in God. Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey and their ministry guests will help you to settle the matter regarding God's sufficient grace in your life. Order this powerful message today on CD or DVD. You may also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for the 2017 Direction for Life Conference, Sufficient Grace.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.